Well, if I know it was going to be such light attendance, I would have just had you over to the house for lunch today. Would have been a nice little gathering. Right, Carla? We would have come up with something. Not too late, no. Well, probably is, Martha, actually. I was a psychology major in college, so I remember still a lot of the things we learned about little tests that we'd do. We would learn or hear about these tests that were conducted on people and children and that kind of thing. And I remember developmental psychology was a lot of fun because we would learn about how kids think and what makes them tick. For instance, we learned that a child's sense of self isn't really developed yet, so they can't really think outside themselves and see themselves as a unit in the family or a person outside themselves. For instance, I went to my brother and sister-in-law's house one day when the kids were just like 4 and 2, and I asked my niece, who was 4, I said, "Hannah, how many brothers do you have?" And she said, "1." And I said, "How many sisters does your brother have?" And she said, "None." Get it? She doesn't see herself outside that. It drove my brother crazy. He had to tell her the answer. I said, no, it'll come, they'll figure it out. But there are little tests like that we learn. Another one that you might be familiar with was the marshmallow test, where you would have a child come into a room, and if they ate one marshmallow immediately, then they couldn't have 2 later. But if they waited and didn't eat the one marshmallow, they were rewarded with the 2 later. So it was really a test of instant gratification and against delayed gratification. And it turns out that in that study, the children that waited for the 2 marshmallows actually went on to have more productive academic lives and personal lives. They were more apt to go to college. They were more apt to do better in school. Those who could have that sense of delayed gratification. There really is a deficiency today, isn't there, in delaying our gratification. We want things immediately. We want things now. Well, and I'm guilty of that too, so I'm not pointing any fingers. As someone who has completely bought into the world of technology, I mean, I can't even go to an ATM machine and wait for the receipt. So I always select no receipt because it takes too long for the thing to print me a receipt. I'll remember the $100 I took out. Isn't that kind of where we are today? We want instant knowledge, instant information. When I have a conversation with somebody about an actor, for instance, Clark Gable or Charlton Heston, I can't wait to get onto my phone, go onto my IMDb website and see how old they are, what movies they were in, and what kind of lives they lived. I want to know right away, and we can do that instantly. There's another study that was done. In other countries, sometimes it's kind of customary for them not to pull first into the parking space that they select, but rather go through the extra work to back the car in. Why? Because when they leave wherever they're going, whatever errand they're running, when they come back after the car, it's a lot easier to just pull out of the parking space. It's safer, it's more convenient, it's quicker. But those of us in other cultures, we pull into the parking space before someone else gets it, and we'll worry about the hard work of looking behind us and backing out later. And they find out that in these cultures, they do better academically. They do better professionally. Isn't that amazing? How those of us who will do the hard work up front, that preparation work up front, and not take the easy way out, have something at the end of our project to be more rewarding. Interesting how that works. So today Jesus kind of tells a story about that, doesn't he? There's 10 bridesmaids, and they're off to illuminate the path for the bride to go to the wedding hall and wait for the groom. 5 of the bridesmaids, actually, if we do the Greek translation, they're virgins. So the 10 virgins light their lamps and they illuminate the light the path for the bridesmaid. 5 of them have lots of oil, and 5 of them have just enough for the current event. So what happens? They get to the banquet hall and they all fall asleep. I'm going to point out some problems with this story that Jesus tells in a moment. They all fall asleep, but when the bridegroom does come, someone shouts out that he's here, All 10 of the ladies wake up, but 5 of them are short on oil. Their lamps are going to go out. They need a little help. The other 5 that have an abundance don't share because they did the pre-work of preparing for the event and they don't have enough to share. So they tell the other women, hurry up, go out to Walmart before it closes and hopefully you can buy some oil for your lamp. Well, they go and do that, but they get back and it's just too late. And now we look at this this parable and we see flaws in it. Okay, if this is a Christian group, if this is a group that's following the way of Jesus, they sure sound pretty stingy. I thought we were supposed to share. These other ladies are not sharing their oil. And the other problem is, wait a minute, how is Jesus shutting the door on anybody? And wait a minute, the groom was late to begin with. We were all there when we were supposed to be. It's his fault, not ours. So we see these little flaws in the parable, as far as I can see. But I think what Jesus is teaching us is something about preparation. You know, in the military, a lot of people don't always forget, or they don't know that I served in the Navy Reserves back in 1990 through 1996. And one of the things, especially in the reserves, that we did was we drilled and we maintained our equipment. That was basically our work. Keep the trucks and the equipment in good working order, stay up on our studying, and make sure that we are ready. Military readiness, you've all heard it before. Now, military doesn't prepare and keep up its readiness necessarily to defeat the opponent, although that is the end result. We do, if we ever unfortunately have to enter into a conflict, of course, the intention is to be victorious. There's no question about that. But there's also another part of that readiness, and it's to save lives. My stepson and Carla's son is in the Navy, as most of you know, and a lot of what the work that he does and the work that they do on that ship is keeping it ready because lives are at stake. They have to be prepared for their own well-being. I think that's sort of what we are called to do as Christians, to remain ready. Do we have enough oil for the lamps that Jesus asks us to light for the path? Or do we just get by with the little bit that we might already have and remain unprepared? And maybe the other question is, how do we stay prepared? How do we stay ready? Is coming to worship once a week enough? Maybe it is. Maybe worship continues after we leave this place. Maybe the appreciation that we have for creation, the respect and dignity that we extend to others throughout our week and through our daily lives is part of worship. I think it is. If we reflect back to Joshua's words in the first reading today, we hear a lot of the word serve. Serve the Lord. Serve God. And really, to worship God is to serve God. So today, we are challenged to remain ready. We are challenged to keep our lamp oil full, whatever that means. And that usually is done through worship, prayer, and service. So put away, as Joshua says, put away those foreign gods that are among you. Whatever it is that's taking up your time, whatever it is that's distracting you from keeping your lamp oil full, and come and serve the God of Israel. The Lord God we will serve, and Him we will obey. Be ready. Keep your oil full. Keep your tank full. And serve the Lord. Amen.